Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We sure miss seeing everybody here, but we're thankful that we can meet together through this medium, and we're thankful that we have an opportunity to study the Word of God. We appreciate so much those who are paying attention to God's Word through this time and are studying on their own and studying with their family. What a time it is to be able to spend time with our children and teach them the Word of God. If you have your Bible, if you'll be turning to the book of John in the 20th chapter, that's where we'll begin in just a moment. And while you're turning to John 20, we want you to know if you have any spiritual needs, if you would contact one of the elders, myself, Brother Guy, we'd be glad to assist you in any way and help you with any need you may have. You call us day or night, we'll be glad to help you, and we'll be praying for you. And we pray that all who, as we go through this quarantine, their faith is still strong and that we continue to lean upon our God. In the book of John, in the 20th chapter, if you will, begin reading with me at about verse 24, and we'll read down through about verse 28. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." At this particular time, you'll find in our reading that Jesus had been nailed to the cross of Calvary and had been raised from the dead. But I want for just a moment for us to try to picture in our mind what it was like the day they took the Son of God and they nailed him to the cross. Can you imagine what it was like after he'd been scourged and beaten, spit upon and mocked, and then they led him up Calvary's hill, they laid him down on some wood, and then they nailed those nails through his hands and feet. I've often tried to imagine with every blow of the hammer, the religious people were rejoicing because they thought they were getting rid of a problem. But little did they know that they were fulfilling the will of God, and what they were doing was going to help Jesus nail some things to the cross. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, Jesus nailed some things that are concrete realities. And what I want to talk about is some things the cross nails down. Some things that when you look at the cross of Calvary, you'll see that Jesus accomplished when he was up on the tree. The first thing I want to put into your mind is that Jesus nailed the old law to the cross. Now, many have had great difficulty seeing the fact that Jesus nailed the law of Moses to the cross, but Paul brings it out in a clear manner. If you take your Bible, look in the Colossian letter and the second chapter. And when Paul is writing to the church at Colossae, notice what he said beginning in verse 13. He said in verse 13, "You being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he's made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Now that goes back to verse 12 when he said you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Now then, notice what he says carefully in verse 14. "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Now Paul, what did he nail to the cross? He said the handwriting of requirement that was against us. Paul is saying that the old law was nailed to the cross. And so when I think about that, I think about the fact I no longer live under the law of Moses, but I live under Christ. That means that the law that Moses was under is not binding today. Today, when an individual disobeys their parents, they don't put them to death. We don't have the judgment of the law. In that day, if you violated the Sabbath, they put you to death. But I want you to think about, there are many people who want to bring certain aspects of the old law over into the new, but they never want to live under the judgment of the law. One thing we need to remember is we are not under the law of Moses. that law is not binding, and therefore we cannot add or take away anything from the old law to bring to the new law. We must live under the law that we have been given. We live in Christ. We under His covenant. But that brings up a question. What good was the old law? A lot of people say, well, why was there even an old law to begin with? Well, there are many passages that would answer that, but let's just look at one where the Apostle Paul brings out in a clear manner why there was the old law. Look in your Bible in the Galatian letter and the third chapter. And when you come to the Galatian letter and the third chapter, notice that the writer of God, the Apostle Paul, writing to the churches throughout Galatia, said, but before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor, or some translations say schoolmaster, to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith had come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. We're no longer under the tutor. Now we have Christ. So the law served a purpose to lead people to Jesus Christ. We're no longer under the schoolmaster. We're now under Christ. We now live by faith. But that brings up a second thing the cross nails down. When I look at the cross and I see that the old law's been nailed to the tree, I also realize that the cross nails down the grim reality of sin. You know, you think about the fact that sin is what put Jesus there. Had there been no sin, there would be no need for a sacrifice. But when man violated the will of God, when man transgressed the will of God, man was doomed to eternal hell unless there was someone who would provide a sacrifice. And that sacrifice had to be sufficient. The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin, the Hebrew writer said. So notice that God sent forth His Son, and His Son came, and notice how He was treated. Notice that the Jews of that day, they rejected Him. In the book of John, in the first chapter, in verse 11, you remember that the Bible said that He came to His own, and His own received Him not. Then if you take your Bible, you remember in the book of Acts, in the second chapter, that Peter addressed the people at that time. And he said, men of Israel, you have crucified the Holy One of God. You with lawless hands have nailed Him to the tree. And you remember, my friend, that at that time many were pricked. Their heart was touched. But not only do you find that individuals at that day saw that sin is real, but remember the disciples. Many of them betrayed Him. Remember Judas sold Him for 30 pieces of silver. Here was one who walked with the Lord, that talked with the Lord, saw the miracles. And yet, my friend, you see how far sin will go when He sells Him for 30 pieces of silver. That shows the grim reality of sin. It shows what God thinks of sin. That God, though He loves man, hates sin. When I behold the cross of Calvary, when I see Jesus dying on the tree, I know two things. I know God loves man, and I know God hates sin. And you could mark it down, the reason Jesus was there was to take away the sin of mankind. In the Roman letter in the third chapter in verse 23, the Apostle Paul said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The cross nails down God's love for man and yet God's hatred of sin, that which violates His holy will. So thus far, I've seen two things that the cross nails down. The cross nails down the old law. I'm no longer under the Mosaic dispensation, but I'm in Christ. And secondly, it nails down the reality of sin. But there's a third thing I want to bring to your mind. And it's a very important thing. The cross nails down the agonizing cost of forgiveness. You know, many are familiar with sin, but they're not familiar with the true cost of forgiveness. I'm fearful that many people treat sin too lightly. But when you look at the cross and you think about what Jesus endured on the cross, His body racked with pain, you think about Him dying, then, my friend, you think about one who suffered greatly. Never has one suffered so much as Jesus did on the cross, partly because of the physical, but also because He was bearing our sin. You remember in the book of Isaiah, in the 53rd chapter, the Bible says He bore our sin. So Jesus on the cross is innocent of all the things they've accused Him of, but He's dying for the sin of mankind as a sacrifice. And I want you to think about, my friend, He truly nailed to the cross the fact that forgiveness is not cheap, that there is a great cost for your forgiveness. But God paid the debt. You and I could not pay the debt we owe, but Christ paid it for us. And I'll tell you something, my friend, when I read my Bible and I think about Jesus on the cross, He truly was nailed to the cross. I see the cost paid to take away my sin. But that brings up something else. I think that we need to see that the cross nails down the fact that Christianity is not easy. I'm fearful that some of us preachers, if we're not careful, leave the impression that once you're a Christian that everything will be fine, that everything will be smooth sailing. But that's never promised in the divine revelation. You'll find that Christians, along with others in the world, all face trials. We all face problems. And you know it's not always easy to be a child of God. You remember in Matthew 16 and 24 that when Jesus was speaking, He said, "If any man desires to follow Me, let him deny himself." Oh, I'll tell you, that's a difficult thing to do. And then He said, "Take up his cross," that means put away his old life, "and follow Me." That means that you're going to live for Him. So I want us to understand that when you think about Christianity, it's not always easy. It's not always easy to stand up. You remember what the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16? When Peter was writing to the saints throughout Asia Minor, he wanted them to understand that they will suffer. He said, "If anyone suffers as a Christian," in verse 16, "let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter." 1 Peter 4:16, he lets them know that one may suffer as a child of God. And yet, my friend, when you think about that, you think about our Master. If He was willing to go to the cross to save us from our sin, whatever we suffer is, as Paul said, a light affliction compared to the eternal weight of glory of heaven. But that brings up another thought in our study. And it's a very important thought. Not only did Jesus nail the old law to the cross, not only did He nail the reality of sin and the cost of forgiveness, He not only did He nail down the fact that Christianity is not always easy, He nailed down the victorious purpose of His Father. You know, when they had nailed Him to the cross, they thought they had Him. They thought they had eliminated the one who challenged their authority. You remember that many in that day were upset that people were beginning to follow Jesus and were not keeping the traditions and the commandments of men. And you remember that Jesus said, "In vain do they worship Me, teaching the doctrines and commandments of men." And yet, my friend, you'll remember that when they nailed Him to the cross, they mocked and belittled Him, but 3 days later, He arose victorious. He came out of that grave. Open your Bible to the Roman letter and the first chapter. And when you come to the Roman letter and the first chapter, notice with me verse 4 carefully. And verse 4, the divine Word said, "And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." Underscore resurrection from the dead. Jesus didn't stay in that grave. By the power of God, He was raised from the dead. And the nails did not hold Him. What held Jesus to the cross was His love for us. And then when they took Him down off that cross and they put Him in the grave couldn't hold Him. He was raised by the power of God. And you know what, my friend? It nails down the fact Christians will be victorious. You know, one thing I have to bear in mind, that no matter what I face in life, there'll come a day that if I'm faithful unto my God, I'll be victorious. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You know what the cross nails down? One day we'll overcome. One day we'll face God. And if we've been faithful, one day we'll dwell with God. Why? because the cross nailed it down. So as we think about these thoughts this morning, I pray that we'll put it into our heart and consider what the cross means to us. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the cross of Jesus. We're so thankful for what He nailed to the tree, that the old law has been done away with and now we're in Christ. We're so thankful, Father, that He paid the penalty that we deserved, that He was willing to die as a sacrifice for our sin. We see the cost of forgiveness and we agonize that our sins put Him there, but we're so thankful that His love would redeem us from our wrong and our sin and that we could be made right when we obey Your will. That when we're baptized into Christ, we're putting on Christ, we're putting away the old man, and that we're added to the family of God. We are reminded that not every day will be easy as a Christian, but we pray our faith grows, and we pray that we'll be victorious through our faith in Your Son. It's in His name we pray. Amen.